the name of Jesus, I thank you for the chance to walk into the writing of the great Mr. Moses. I thank you for a chance to just taste the goodness of who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us. Be with every breath that we speak. Be with every word that's spoken. Be with every thought that's thought. And Father, I ask that you underline in our mind what we need to learn, that it not be one thing off, that you be keeping us right on the straight and narrow, and we ask the Holy Spirit be the ever-present guide through this in the precious name of Yahshua, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who's coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. You are in the book of Genesis. We should call this revisiting Genesis or re-looking at Genesis, because this is not going to be typically what you think of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the earth. True, absolutely true, and we all know that, and I love it, love it, love it. But it's way more than that. So let's take a look right off the bat. I want to start, funny enough, with Mr. Paul. Hebrews 11:3, by faith. In fact, if you don't know Hebrews 11, you should have it circled and underlined and highlighted and dog-eared and all kinds of things. It's the faith chapter of the Bible. It is one of the best ever chapters, if you had to pick a chapter. This is the faith chapter, Mr. Paul. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds, and I want you to circle that. That's plural. Last time I checked, an S on the end of something is plural. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. If you don't know this now, know this is forever and always true. The Word of God is Jesus. Anytime the Bible says the Word of God, you can write it down. That's the King. Write His name down. Cross it out. It's Jesus. So here's Paul telling us the worlds, plural, already rocking your world a little bit, isn't it? The worlds were framed by Jesus. Well, that's no surprise. If anything's made, if anything's created, if anything's fashioned, it's going to be by the King of Kings. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he's the author of everything. And Paul's telling us now, he framed worlds, plural. And I didn't change that. That's what your Bible says. So that the things which are seen, you know things are seen, there's trees, blah, 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 were not made of things which are visible. He made things from nothing. He's a creator. This is something that Satan can't do. He's not a creator. He's a rejuvenator. He's a rethinker. He's a revitalizer. He's a recycler. But he can't create. This is your key verse for everything that you're going to learn. By faith, we know this, Paul says, that the Word Jesus Christ made all the worlds, and he fashioned them from nothing, because he's a creator God. If you get that and learn nothing else from me, then you've learned everything you need, because that's what we're starting to talk about. We're going to enter into a discussion about a doctrine that people don't like. If you, by the end of our, it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks to really do this right, so I don't know how far we'll get tonight. We're definitely doing it again next week. If you can't ascribe to this theory, you're in real good company. About 70% of the quote church says this is hogwash. In fact, you talk to most pastors, you know, and you mention this, they won't give you the time of day. They won't even listen to it. They won't say, well, what about when Isaiah said in 45, what about the gap that it looks like there's something missing between the first and second verse of Genesis? They turn you right off and say, no. I'm not a no person. I want to know more. The only no I know is K-N-O-W, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to K-N-O-W that what that space is that everybody's so arguing about. You don't have to agree with this, but I'm going to lay out what the theory is, block by block by block, scripture by scripture by scripture, and you can take it or leave it. This is not a salvation message. This is not, if you don't get this, you're going to hell message. That's not what this is. And if we get all done with the 2 or 3 weeks we study this and you say to me, I can't buy it, and I say, we're moving on. That's your choice. Not it. And I'm not going to tell you how I feel. I'm going to do the very best I can to explain this to you. And then I'm going to let you choose, as always. If you don't like it, scripture, 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 scripture. That's what we need. We need scripture, okay? So that's called, it's called the gap theory, ruin reconstruction theory, or pre-Adamic cataclysmic theory. That's a mouthful, isn't it? And it's an interpretation about these two verses. It's two verses in Genesis. It's Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. And whether or not in between those two verses, there's a space or not. I'm going to give you what modern scholars say about it. And then you can research what the naysayers say. You already know that most people don't like it. I'm not going to give you their point of view. They just say it's not true. Most of them won't look at it. Okay, turn the page then. Go on. Do you have Jesus as a Savior? Do you love Him? Do you think He's virgin born? All those are all I care about. This is because you're a scholar and because you need to know this about the book of Genesis. I want you to know it's not new. It was in first century, people like Origen and Polycarp and some people that sat under the Apostle John, my hero, who ascribed to this theory. What you'll find is the opposite of this theory is a young earth creationist. You've heard that. A young earth creationist says that the earth was made in 6 24-hour days. End of story. I say that too. I don't say end of story. I already told you last week. I told you I believe that the earth is created in 6 24-hour days. I do believe that. And I believe from that part when Genesis 1 skips to Genesis, the second verse, and God begins making the days of creation, I believe from then on it's about 6,000 years. What we are talking about is before that. We're talking about before the first day of creation. Genesis 1:1 is not the first day of creation. We're going to read it, and I'm going to give you the Greek words. Actually, they're Hebrew that fit in there. And then I'm going to let you decide. You have to decide whether there is a gap or not. It's totally up to you. And what we're going to do is when we do the Hebrew words, I'm going to say it a lot. Tohu vabohu. Tohu kind of sounds like tofu, doesn't it? It is not. Tohu vabohu. Void and empty. Empty and void. That's the controversy. Those two words. And the original words are tohu vabohu. Was the earth made empty and void? That's the question. This is what this is going to hinge on. This gap theory, so-called, describes the original creation of God, perfect in every way. Then between verses 1 and 2, those are the two verses we're looking at tonight, this gap theory believes that Satan rebelled, was thrown from heaven, and was cast out. He caused such chaos on earth that God destroyed it with a flood. This is not the Noah flood. This is called the Luciferian flood. You're going to learn about a second flood. Actually, you're going to learn about three floods. Because there's one in Jeremiah that's just a local one. That precedes the Noah one. So the gap theorist would tell you this. God created the earth perfect. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. End of story, period. And no one argues with that. Well, an atheist might. No one here would argue with that. But then the gap theorist says, there comes a time slot in there to which something must have happened. Something catastrophic must have transferred, because when you read the second verse, everything changes. Now, I'm going to read to you Genesis 1, 1 and 2, with the inserts of the Greek and Hebrew words and definitions. And it goes something like this. In the beginning, no change there. And I'm going to add a parenthesis here. And if you want to follow along, it's easy to follow me. I'm on the bottom of 28. In the beginning, brackets, for the devil was sinned from the beginning, 1 John 3:8. John tells us the devil was sinned from the beginning, okay? Just inserting that because that's what we're talking about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. End of first verse. I'm going to ascertain and tell you that a gap theorist would say there's a big gap happens here. Why? Here's why. You need to hear the rest of it. Verse 2. The earth was, by the way, incorrect translation, was in that original Hebrew was Haya, H-A-Y-A-H, which could mean became. So it should say the earth became Haya without form and void. Tohu vabohu. The earth became tohu vabohu. The earth became without form and void. That's what verse 2 of Genesis says. I'm going to insert Mr. Isaiah in here, Isaiah 45, 18, because it's a verse you have to hear. And Isaiah says that God did not create the earth tohu. He says this, 45, 18 in verse Isaiah. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it. Not in tohu vabohu, not in vain. Isaiah said, God, now listen to what Isaiah says. God did not create the earth tohu. Either Isaiah is a liar or Moses is, because the Bible does not contradict itself. There is no place you can ever prove a contradiction in the Bible. It's God's holy word. It's always true. It's always, always, always. If we see a contradiction, it's because we're not understanding it. Isaiah says God did not create the earth tohu. Genesis 2 said, read it again. The earth became tohu. I changed the was, haya, to became, which is the correct translation. If you leave it, the earth was void, you're making Isaiah a liar because he says God does not create the earth tohu. He does not. But insert the right word, became, and you get a different picture. Moses is saying, isn't he? The earth became tohu, not was created tohu. See the difference? These glasses may be perfect. Perfect. I step on them, they become void, useless. An action makes something become something. So if Isaiah's words are true and God did not create the earth tohu, he didn't. That's what Isaiah says. And something happened between that first verse where God created the heavens and earth. First verse, perfect. He did. Space. But the earth became tohu. Also, the conjunction but should be in there because the other word and implies that it runs on. Those are separate sentences. And I will go with some Hebrew marks here in a minute. I told you that. So anyway, so Isaiah says, for thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. Not, that word is tohu. He formed it to be inhabited. This is Isaiah's words, not mine. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And I just have this feeling that when we add that Isaiah piece in, then most Bible scholars like you and like me go, okay, Moses is saying one thing, Isaiah is saying the opposite, something's wrong. So then you go back to the original languages, and you see where the word but and became, make that second verse altogether different. And it seems like something caused that tohu vabohu. Something caused the earth to become void and dark and troubled. And you put the right words in there, it something happened. We are not told what it is. That's the gap theory. There's a gap there that God does not fill that in. He will fill it in, but not with Moses. The Bible does this. If you don't get an answer in a certain verse, then you go to another part of the Bible because it's always going to fill it in. So I'm going to bring in some other verses to help here. But I'm trying to tell you how the gap theorist picks this verse apart. And then he goes on to say, without form and void and darkness. By the way, when you see the word darkness, I looked that up because you can't let a good word go to waste. It's a masculine noun. The real word for that in Hebrew and darkness was on the face of the deep. I'm just saying, a masculine noun that's caused a lot of trouble on the earth that could be on the face of the deep. Anybody have any ideas who that might be? I'm guessing you all know. Yeah, I'm not going to give him a name. You know who I mean. And he's over the face of the deep. Now that's trouble. Already we're seeing a setup for what the trouble might be here, right? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We've done two verses, and we're just beginning.
What is the deep? Is there any...
Yeah, we're going to go over that too. Let me give you, if I'm going to translate that whole first two verses into actual Hebrew words, and it should read like this. And the primeval earth existed, fell out, became, came to pass, was in a state of formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, like a deserted wasteland, wilderness, chaos, vanity, and like undistinguishable ruin, wasted and void. You pick every one of those words apart, that's always a lot longer than the English. That's what that's a little bit saying. And good question about the deep. The deep is always going to point to the dark depths, hell. And it's going to talk about the water and how the water is going to always be, when it's troubled and chaotic and sea, it's always going to be the enemy of your souls. We're going to go into that a little bit later, and I'll go into some deep things about those, deep about deep. Now, here's some truths you got to know about the gap theory. I'm on page 29. There's a really big phrase I'm going to say over and over and over again. You're going to get so sick of it, you're going to start saying in your sleep, tohu vabohu, tohu vabohu. And just remember, it's not tofu, it's tohu vabohu. That simply is going to prove that the earth was in a state of confusion and darkness, and it was void. Right in verse 2. Remember, Isaiah said God did not create the earth like that. Isaiah said that. He's my source for that. I'm going to bring in Peter here in a minute. But if you want to know that, Isaiah 45:18, that's a linchpin for this thought. God did not create the earth tohu vabohu. He did not. So that's a big phrase in the gap theory. Isaiah 34 adds a little bit more to it. This is Isaiah 34:11. And I took this from the actual Jewish Bible Orthodox translation. But the desert owl and the screech owl shall possess it, even the great owl, and the raven shall dwell in it. He shall stretch out upon it the measuring line of tohu and the plumb line of vohu. Now, if Isaiah says that God did not create the earth that way, he said it, then why in the world are we seeing him talk about the earth have tohu and vabohu on it? Something had to cause it. This is causal. This is something made this happen, right? It's like stepping on my glasses. They're fine until I step on them. Then we're in trouble, right? The earth's in trouble here. Something happened that made it. Jeremiah hints at this too. Jeremiah 4:23. Now, Jeremiah is a prophet. Those of you that studied with me know he's the longest book in the Bible. And he's wonderful. You need to read the whole fourth chapter because he just starts rattling on, and he's witnessing to people, and he's and he's sharing God's story. And then he goes into what prophets do. They'll weave you in and out of present and past, and they'll take you far past, and they'll take you near past. He's prophesying, and then he takes you to the far past. And he just outright says this in Jeremiah 4:23. I beheld the earth. So somehow Jeremiah was out in an airplane, helicopter, or kite, beholds the earth. Means he's looking, that word means he's looking down on the earth. This is Jeremiah, okay? I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form, tohu, and void, bohu. Jeremiah said, I saw the earth, and it was tohu vabohu. And the heavens had no light. You know this. Light's always Jesus. Jesus is always light. He looked up in a dark sky. It was dark. There was no light. There was no glimmer of hope. There was no flicker of a star. He saw the earth like verse 2 of Genesis. The earth was tohu vabohu. But Isaiah later says God did not create it like that. Therefore, there's a causal effect. Something caused the earth to be this way. Let's go on. Then there's a big hint at an earlier earth. Now, this is where some of you are going to go, I'm not going there. Well, think about this. I'm not saying God didn't create this earth. You'd never hear me say that. I would be a fool. My mama didn't raise no fool. I'm saying the Bible never says God didn't create more than one earth. He never said that. Not ever did he say that. He didn't say that he didn't create other earths. He didn't say that. I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying it doesn't say he didn't. So I want you to think past your typical paradigm. And here's the rest of that Jeremiah 4 passage that I was telling you about, verses 23 to 26. Jeremiah is prophesying to his friends, and he goes way back into the ages past. He says, I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void. Tohu vabohu. And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man. And all the birds of the heaven had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land, that's Israel, was a wilderness. And all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. Now, when did that happen? When did he see cities? Way back in the distance past. When did he see that? And beheld, there was nothing. It was tohu vabohu. He said, I saw the earth, and it was void and dark. No animals. There used to be cities there. Yeah. Where was this?
Could this be Noah's flood?
No, it couldn't be. This can't be Noah's flood. It can't be.
How do we know he's not talking about Revelation?
We know that because in Revelation there is a distinction about there being the no light. We never see that in Revelation. We do see the mountains move back and forth, and this will remind you of that, but we also don't see in Revelation, and also Israel's flattened out. We don't ever see that in Revelation. We'll see the devil trying to get the Jews, but the Antichrist is not flattened out Israel. This can't be Revelation either, and it can't be Noah's flood. He sees something in the distant past that is tohu vabohu. In fact, good question, Travis, because we don't hear the word on Revelation, tohu vabohu. The earth is not destroyed until at the very end when Jesus does that and makes a new heaven and new earth. It doesn't become tohu vabohu. It does here in Jeremiah. When's he looking at? Not sure. Let's look at a couple of big words that are going to surround this. Here's the word was. I told you this early in Genesis 1:2. The earth was. Do a real good, quick look at that. It's equally used, the equal amount of times in the Bible, as became. So the translators And English decided to put was. When you read it into the in the original Hebrew, it was became. It makes a lot of difference. The earth became or the earth was. Different story, different verbs. And Strong says they're equally used in the same place. So I'm saying that's a pretty good indication. Also means could become. The word darkness. This is, according to Strong's, when darkness was over, it's a masculine noun. The Strong's number is 2822. It's Choshek. It's obscurity. It's darkness. And the original word was masculine noun. So, I think the devil may have been doing his handiwork during this time. The word replenish is going to be big. We're going to see that God two times in the Bible uses this word. And he's going to tell. Now, this one time makes real a lot of sense. When Noah and his family get off the ark, they come trekking off the ark after, you know, all those days on there. God says, go and replenish the earth. That implies fill again, doesn't it? It means it once was full, now it isn't, go do it again. Replenish means, like I told you about filling water up. He's going to use this word here in Genesis 2. Actually, in Genesis 3, he's going to tell Adam and Eve, replenish the earth. When he sends them out after they've fallen, he doesn't say, go fill the earth. He says, go replenish. Only two times, Noah and Adam both get that direction from God. Now there's something that we don't know because we're not Hebrew. Remember early on, I said it's a Hebrew book written by a Hebrew God, by Hebrew authors, to a Hebrew audience. They knew the language. If you had this in Hebrew and you could speak it eloquently, you would notice a little mark called a rebia, R-E-B-I-A. It is a, you can look it up. I couldn't get it to copy or I would have done it for you. It's a ending, kind of a punctuation mark, and it's a distinguishing mark that tells you to stop there. This is the end of a thought. And when that mark is on there, we don't have anything like that in English. I mean, an exclamation mark, kind of. But this is more distinct. This is a distinctive mark that the Hebrew scholars knew meant end of thought, move on. So this rebia should have been at the very end of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Rebia, stop. That's a different thought. And then he starts verse 2. We don't sense that in English. We don't have anything like that. The fact that God put that rebia in there implies there's a definite halting and you're on to a new thought, which implies a pause. Might I say it hints at a gap with that little mark. A pause or a halt, a break or a stop. Then there's a big sin that we're going to have to tackle, and this is not going to be fun. Paul says that sin entered the world through one man. We all agree with that. Most of us have read that in to think that was Adam. And no doubt, Adam did a really awful thing. We talk about it, everybody, children know about it. But what if that one man was Satan? Created being, I know man. What if sin entered the whole universe through Satan? Who could argue about that? What if it did? Something caused a hierarchy of angels, a third of them to be exact, seraphim, we call them, snake-like, look like vipers with shining bodies and wings. We see them guarding in the garden. We know what they look like. We've got several descriptions of them. Isaiah describes them, Ezekiel does. They're vipers. But they were high up in the kingdom in the heavenlies. And one third of them followed a usurper who sought to take God's place, and God cast him out. What if that was the first sin? What if? Just saying, these are questions we're going to ask. And was there a universal flood before Genesis 1 even started? Was there? Peter seems to point to that. He has an interesting verse that I think we have to add in here because Peter plays into this gap theory a lot. And I'm reading from 2 Peter 3, verses 2 through 7. This is 2 Peter 3, verses 2 through 7. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, and I want you to underline this. Peter's saying by the word of God. He's saying this is by the mouth of Jesus. Word of God is Jesus. The heavens were of old. Circle that. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by that same word, Jesus, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Let me unpack some of this for you. When was the earth standing in and out of water? Noah's flood, you might say. Well, let's say that. And then read the rest of the story about that, if that's it. And the world was, and the world perished. How many of you believe that when Noah's flood happened, God destroyed the whole earth and it was gone forever? Well, if that's true, where are we and who are we? Not, that wasn't Noah's flood. Because when the earth was standing in and out of water, if that's Noah's flood, the rest of the thing, Peter says, the world perished then. Means it's kaput, gone. The world was in a flood with Noah. But when Noah got off that boat, there were trees still there. The birds had brought leaves back to the ark. There were animals. Birds were flying around. The animals got off the ark with them. It did not perish. Everyone that wasn't in the ark did, except, of course, the fish and stuff. And the birds, there were a few birds, I think, that survived. But that earth did not perish, did it? Didn't he get off to dry land around Mount Ararat and walk right onto the earth? Had it perished? No. Read this again and remember what Peter's saying. For this they willfully forget. And I believe this is a nod to our forefathers in the quote church that wanted to sanitize the Bible for us so we wouldn't know the real truth about some stuff because it gets kind of icky. It does. I'm going to tell you what happened in that gap, and it's not pretty. But they don't want you to read Peter, and they want you to say, oh, that's Noah's flood. You know, the earth was in the water. No, read the rest of it. That's not Noah's flood. The earth didn't perish then. A lot of people and a lot of icky Nephilim did. Read that again. The earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that had then existed perished, being flooded with water. When was that? When can you think of a time that you know for sure when the earth was standing in and out of water and it perished? Can you name a time? You will. I'm going to tell you when that was. So I'm going to read these three verses to you again, just exactly as they come in the Bible. No tohu vabohu or anything in that. And I want you to think about what we just said. And I am starting in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's no contest. Flat down, we know that. I take any antagonist, any arguer to the wall on that deal. We know that. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There's hope at the end of the tunnel here. This is not going to be all bad news, because we're going to see the light here pretty soon. So if you start out with Paul's thoughts, and Paul, remember he said in Hebrews, I gave you that verse earlier, that the world, remember, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, plural. This is Paul. I didn't make that up, and I didn't add that S on there. That's in your Bible, too. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that's Jesus, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11, that's faith chapter. You know that. He's talking about worlds. He's talking about Jesus making them. Jesus made plural worlds. Write it down. I didn't write that. If you don't like Paul, cut out two-thirds of the New Testament because he wrote it. This is what Paul said. The worlds is avoi, as in con, which means an age or a span of time or specific conditions. What Paul is even saying, even beyond planets, he's saying epochs of time. God made epochs of time, lots of them. He says plural of them. That's what, I can't pronounce that word, avoi means. Epochs of time. There were lots of time spots that Jesus authored. I didn't write this. Argue with Paul. That's what he wrote. And if you don't know that, you've got it now. So when the Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and Genesis 1 says let there be light, we are followed then by the creation scene. And we're going to get into that in a few weeks, and it's going to be great. But what happens then? What have we done with verse 2, which says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 2 is the kicker. It's the one everybody has trouble with. So let's propose what that already says. We know this from reading those three verses that I just read to you. You can read them in any Bible and you'll agree. The earth already exists. It says it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's here. By verse 1, it's here. Everybody agree with that. Verse 2, I don't see any life here yet in those verses. Not yet. Right? Doesn't mention it. Maybe. We don't know that. In those three verses, you don't see it yet. Right? There is a great darkness, though. We are mentioned the darkness over the deep. We do know that. And we know there's water. That's what we know from those verses. We can assume that. That's what the Bible says. And you can't discount those truths. Now, you can argue about other things. You can pick those apart in English, and you can read that. Let me take you to, when could this have all been created? Okay. Let's go back to the oldest book in the Bible. Maybe you thought you were studying the oldest book. You're not. You're going to go 300 years before Moses. And you're going to go to a man named Mr. Job. He's 300 years before Moses lived. Oldest book in the Bible. And if you've not done a study on Job, it is a sight to behold. Maybe we'll do that next. It's really good. So I'm in Job 38:4. And this is what's said in Job 38:4. It says, oh, by the way, let me give you the setup. Job's whining to God. Oh, woe is me. I'm so sick, and why have you done this? And God puts him to task. And he begins asking him a series of questions. And here's one of them that he says in Job 38:4. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. So we know from Job, God laid all the foundation of the earth. In case you wondered, that's just another proof. Genesis 1:1 says, and God created the heavens and earth. And God tells Job himself, I laid the foundation of the earth. Where were you when I was doing that? Job said nothing. Of course he did. Now let's go back to Isaiah 14. I want to read a couple of parts to you that are going to be a bit disturbing. And I have to prove this to you, and you need to know these two sections of Scripture. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 are biggies. If you don't know them now, learn them. What they are is, the main places in the Bible where you learn who the Satan is. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Easy, they're multiples of 7. 7 times 2 and 7 times 4. And what you'll find out is you are going to need to know this, because when you get into Revelation, John starts talking about him, and Jeremiah starts talking about him. Everybody mentions him. And this Hebrew book, written by this Hebrew author, Moses, assumes you know this stuff. You should know who your adversary is. The Jews knew him. They called him by name. And what you're going to find out is we get the most detail about him anywhere in the Bible in these two sections. We're going to read Isaiah, and then we're going to lay it on top of Mr. Ezekiel, and you're going to see who this guy is that I'm beginning to hint at that's causing the problem here in verse 2. And I'm going to start with Isaiah 14, starting with the 12th verse. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, this is what the devil said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. He has 5 I wills that tell his nature. You should know this as a Bible scholar. These 5 I wills tell you what you're dealing with when you come up against this foe of God's. He was going to take over God and topple him and take his kingdom. Isaiah tells us that.
I got a question.
Go.
And I'm not studied in the Bible.
Oh, no, go.
So when did the original battle between God and Satan take place?
We're going to learn that. Where it's exactly what I'm fixing to show you. I will ascend above the heights of God. I will be the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. This is God talking to him. To the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness, and who destroyed its cities? Now, when has he done this? This is not Revelation. God's saying he destroyed a world, made it a wilderness, and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. When did that happen? That's a hint to another time, too. I don't remember any time this world was destroyed and made a wilderness by Satan. I think it's coming in Revelation. This is talking distant past. When did that happen? Let's see what Ezekiel describes this foe as. You were the seal of perfection, talking about Lucifer, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Now, wait a minute. We all know the story of Garden of Eden, right? Ezekiel's saying to this Lucifer, you were in Eden. Okay. The garden of God, every precious stone, you're covering the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. He was a musician, head musician for God. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Till, big till, iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading. When did he do a bunch of trading? When was Satan in charge of trading? You became filled with violence within, and you sinned. You sinned. Can angels sin? Ezekiel says so. He said, you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. By the way, the mountain of God is God's throne. He was before the throne of God. He was a musician before the throne of God. He was the cherub that covers. He stood behind God's throne and covered him with his wings and played gorgeous music and led the worship in heaven. This is what Ezekiel and Isaiah says. He said he was a perfection. He had the timbrels and the pipes, and he had the gold and stones, and he was above God's. He was standing above God's throne, over God's throne, covering with his wings. This is who this guy was. But you sinned, God says. Remember the 5 I wills? I will do this. I will do. No, God says no, and you sinned. And here's the consequence. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. That's out of the throne room of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub. You're not going to cover my throne anymore. I destroyed you. From the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. That means the earth. And I laid you before kings. When did he do that? When did Satan get cast before kings and laid to the ground? He's going to. And this is not, you're right, this is not Revelation. This is pre that. This is pre Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, the earth, nothing had been created yet. I mean, just the earth was sitting there. But Ezekiel and Isaiah said, I saw this. And God said, I cast you down before kings. I threw you down. You corrupted cities with your trade. When did he do that? Could it be? Let's just take the Bible at its word. I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. Could it be that there was an earth before this earth we're living on? Could it be? And could Satan, the cherub that covered, that was the beauteous, wondrous leader with gorgeous music that had charisma and was trading with kings all over, could it be that he got so pride-filled of himself? Those five I wills, I will ascend to Mount Zion. I will take the throne of God. Could it be God heard that and cast him down out of heavenly realms into the earth and destroyed the earth when he did it? Could it be? Would it make sense? Now, I know. I told you this is going to be tough. Think about this. Could it be that he was a chief on the early earth? And he was trading with whatever beings were, because I think it was only angelic beings here. I don't believe God created man until he created Adam. But I do, the angels in Job 38:4 were singing when God created the earth. Way before man was created, the angels were clapping and singing. The angels are already created. I don't know when they're created. I know they're created when the earth is created, already here. Could it be that he was a big deal on this pre-Adam earth, and he was trading, and he was frolicking, and he was running things and being a big deal in his own mind, and he got so full of himself that when he goes before the throne room of God, God said, I'm done with you. I see your heart. The Bible says he sinned. Iniquity got in him, and he sinned. And God says, I threw him down. Well, where did he throw him down to? Did he throw him down to the earth where he had been corrupting everything? And at that throwing, and the third of the angels fell, Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. Could that be if when the earth was destroyed in a catastrophic event, such as a massive flood, that we are told by Paul made the earth perish. Tohu vabohu. Made it void and dark. Could it be? Now, don't get hung up with the word gap. Let me tell you this. There's several gaps in the Bible. Gaps are not anti-Bible. There's going to be let me give you a little hint of a book that you really should have. This is my dad's book. It's one of the best books I've ever seen. I will pass it around. It's called The Greatest Book on Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin. He's been dead 100 years. I love this book. It's still in print, and his drawings are spectacular. What you see in front of you are... Here's his idea about the earth that we're talking about. He believes just like we're trying to say here. The earth was made perfect. Yay! We know that. God makes everything perfect. But something happened. Made it be tohu vabohu, dark, covered with water, and then God recreated it or reconstructed it. But this book, I'll pass this around. You look for it. Wonderful book. It's about $35, I think. But it's well worth it. Anyway, he's saying there's gaps all over the Bible. There's going to be a gap. We're in a gap right now. Jesus came, died, and rose again. And he said, I'm coming back. I hope he hasn't come back because I'm still here. And that's that gap we're waiting in. We're waiting in this period of grace. That's a big gap. I mean, it's been over 2,000 years. So gaps are not anti-Bible. And I just use that as a silly example. There's lots of gaps. Let's talk a little bit about the crux of this. Is going to sound kind of weird, but let me just say it like this. It seems like when Lucifer sinned, and he did, I read you the verse, God said he sinned, and God said I threw him down. It seems like when God threw Lucifer to the earth, there was one big, messy, chaotic, galactic spill. Because God used water to destroy the earth. Isn't it interesting, after Noah's flood, God says that the phrase, I will never again use that water to destroy the earth. Now, you could say, sure, Noah's is one, but it almost implies in that never again that it happened before. It is the feeling that many ancient scholars believe there was indeed a humongous flood at this point. Now, I am not an evolutionist. You know me. You know that I don't think I should even have to say that. But I want to preface that before I say this. The gap theory makes us creationists, and I believe it's 6 literal days and 7 day rest, 24-hour days, makes us seem less like idiots. And I'll tell you why. Any creationist that says to a scientist, I don't believe in the rock stratas. They're not true. I don't believe that. I don't believe there were dinosaurs. No, that's not in the Bible. Hogwash! Look at the rock stratas. Don't hear me right. I am not an evolutionist, but I'm also not stupid. I studied enough science. There are some stratas that would imply that there have been at least thousands of years laid down. I'm not the one that believes there's millions of years, but I believe there's thousands of years of stratus. I believe that's real hard to argue. It's also real hard to argue when out in western Kansas they dig up an almost complete dinosaur and say, I don't believe there were dinosaurs. That's not true. You look like a blooming idiot, guys. Creationists are smarter than that. And how does that fit in a 6,000-year span? Doesn't. I think it's been 6,000 years since the first day of recreation. But I am beginning to think that this theory about this one-verse gap that Jeremiah sees and Peter sees, and Ezekiel and Isaiah begin to explain the nature of Satan and when he fell. I believe that makes perfect sense, that there could have been thousands of years that Satan was ruling this earth. God created it perfect. We know that. No argument. And maybe his angelic beings were on there and they were, you know, doing their thing. I don't know. There's a lot of ancient books that talk about stuff like the Atlantis and Lemuria. Yeah, and there's ancient history books. I'm not bringing those in. I'm just saying it makes sense to me that during that time, maybe there were created beings. I'm not sure there were humans. I don't think so, but angelic beings on the earth, and they were doing their thing, and everything was fine until Ezekiel and Isaiah tells us iniquity was found in Lucifer. The gorgeous cherub that covers the beautiful, angelic, wonderfully talented leader, Lucifer. And God said, I threw him down. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. God threw him down. And when he threw him to earth, think of the power of God. You're talking the God of this universe. He throws somebody down. It probably sent the whole earth in a spin and caused massive upheaval, and the mountains fell, and it does sound like Revelation. And everything went chaotic and dark and covered with water. Why do you think Jews to this day hate the ocean? They hate it. They don't like to be on the boats. The only of the 12 tribes, the only boatman of all was Dan, who was a serpent and a viper, according to the explanation of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were not seafaring. They hate the sea. They think it's evil. We could go back into the study of Leviathan and what that is, and that's a whole other study. But I'm just telling you, could it be that this one big, messy, chaotic, galactic spill was so upheavalish that it would cause the earth to reel to and fro, very much like Revelation's description, because God's going to do the same thing again, and cover with water, because when he breaks open the deep, up comes the water. When was the earth standing in and out of water and it perished? That's what Peter says. When was that? When was the earth standing in and out of water and it perished? It is not the Noah flood. The Noah flood, the earth did not perish. The stratosphere and the hydrosphere are real interesting on earth too. We are surrounded by water everywhere. It's in the air, it's in the clouds, it's below us, it's all around us. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, took that dark, deep water and did something real special with it. Now, this is going to take us into another topic, which we promise we will get into a lot in the... I know you're getting tired. We're gonna half it off here in just a little bit. We're going to get into the Nephilim and the infestation of the devil and the earth and the serpent seed and all that. We're going to do that. But I want to lay a John 8 verse here at this point. And it's John 8, 23. And you probably don't have this, but I'll just give it to you for a reference. Let me give you a preface to what Jesus was doing in John 8. He was arguing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he'd already told them they were not of this world. He'd already told them that. I mean, Jesus, if nothing else, was point blank honest. And he said to them, they were calling his mother a whore, and they were saying he was born of ill repute, is what they were basically doing. Read John 8. It's a classic Jesus will put you in your place chapter. If you think he's mamby-pamby and a Casper milquetoast, you haven't read John 8. And he begins to defend his mother. And he turns around to these Pharisees and these Sadducees who are trying to trick him. And he says this: "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Could this be a hint at when Satan was thrown out of heaven and was tossed to the earth, causing it to be such a chaos that it caused it to revolt and turn upside down and all the mountains fall and the rivers and the water encompassed it? Could it be that Jesus is saying to these vipers, which are of the same lineage of Lucifer, who is a seraphim who has a face like a viper, could he be saying to these vipers, "You're of this world. I'm not. You're below." He threw Satan below, and I'm above. I think it all fits in. I think when you start to get the picture of what really happened when Satan fell, we can't even begin to think about what that is. Tristan asked about the deep, and I don't know if she's going to hear this. Often in the Bible, the deep points us to the abyss or to the grave. It is very often referred to as the deepest part of the sea, the deep. For instance, we know when Jonah, all know the story of Jonah, dies in the fish. By the way, you probably know, did know that he died. He's dead in that fish and he goes to the deep. Goes to the grave. Sheol. Another word the Jonah story says is Jonah prayed from Sheol. He was dead. The deep. So when this is referring to the earth and that it was a deep, everything was dead. When this chaos happened in verse 2, everything was dead. Water was primeval and it was covering and it was dark and it was referring to the deep. And this could be that universal flood that's hinted at, that God, when he does the Noah flood, says, I'll never do a flood again. Could he be saying, too, that at this part, when we look at verse 2, when was the earth standing in and out of the water and it perished? It didn't do that in the Noah flood. It's my contention there's this other flood that we're looking at. It's Lucifer's flood. It's not Noah's. It did not perish in Noah's. John says in Revelation 21:1, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. What you have to understand for the Jew, Jewish book, Jewish thoughts, Jewish thinking, Jewish author, they hated the sea. In the new heaven and the new earth, God has no sea. We're looking at verse 2, and here's an earth standing in the sea. It's destruction. It's picturing judgment. It's dark. It's covered. And the only thing that's the brightest hope in all this is the Holy Spirit is hovering over it. And this hovering is an interesting word, too. It's fluttering. It's like a chicken over a nest. The same word that Holy Spirit was doing over this dark earth is the same word Jesus used when he rode the donkey in on Palm Sunday when he said, Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, I would have covered you like a mother hen with her chicks. I would have fluttered over you. I would have covered you. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in this verse 2. He's doing what Jesus wanted to do to Israel when he rode the donkey in on Palm Sunday. He wanted to hover and flutter and protect Israel, and they wouldn't have him. And the Holy Spirit is taking this desolate, dark, formless, tohu vabohu earth that Isaiah said, God didn't create it that way. Peter said, God didn't create it that way. Isaiah said, look what happened. Ezekiel says, the devil got too much pride. He sinned, and God threw him down. And here's the Holy Spirit hovering over this dark, sea-covered earth, fluttering over it. And God's going to do something. Because he's never going to let the devil win. That's not his nature. That's never going to happen. So let's do some big what-ifs then. Then we're going to stop for today, and we'll take it up next time. Let's do a what-if. Here's what we know for sure. We know this for sure, and take this to the grave. God created the heavens and earth. We know that. Nobody will argue with that. Isaiah tells us that God did not create this earth tohu vabohu. Is Isaiah a liar, or do you believe him? He said God didn't create it like that. Well, if he didn't create it like that, then what happened that made it be tohu vabohu? Something happened. Some catastrophic thing caused this earth to be flooded with this gigantic water over everything and be dark and be covered by the deep and to be tohu vabohu. If he didn't create it that way, Isaiah said he didn't, Peter said he didn't, then something happened because in verse 2 it is that way. God's not a liar. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. So there's something we're not picking up. And then we go to Ezekiel and he says, I saw him fall to the ground. He said those five I wills. God said he sinned. God said he cast him out. Well, when did that happen? Because we're going to find out later on in this story, and you know this, when he walks into the garden with Adam and Eve, he's already fallen. He's already fallen and is on the evil side when he comes in to trick Adam and Eve. He's already fallen. Well, when did that happen?
He tried to convince
them. He did. He had already fallen by then. That's easy to figure that out because he was on the bad side then. So, putting it together, God creates the heaven and the earth. Heaven and the earth. We know how he creates. He's wonderful, awesome, yay. And Isaiah said he didn't create it tohu vavohu. He didn't create it void and dark. But in verse 2 it is. And the only thing that makes sense is that a created being that was beautiful and marvelous and higher than any other created being got full of pride, sinned, had iniquity, and God threw him to the earth. And that earth that had been beautiful and wonderful, as God does, became tohu, became, which is the correct word there, we already went through that, became tohu vabohu, and is setting in dark, and the deep is there, and the waters are covering it, because the earth has perished. And yet the Holy Spirit, like the dove he is fluttering over it, just like Jesus wanted to cover Israel and take her to himself. And the Holy Spirit is covering this dark, dank, tohu vabohu earth. And the Holy Spirit is over it, waiting to do something. And verse 3 says, and then there's light. And we all know who that is. Thank you, Father, for the